As we go to God in prayer, we have some additions to our prayer concerns. We want to remember Mary Jane Patton, who's recovering from surgery Friday. And we extend our love and sympathy to Kim DuPont in the death of her grandfather yesterday. And Todd Mead has asked for prayers for his niece Amber Babbitt and their newborn daughter, Kinsley. Kinsley is critically ill and is facing at least two surgeries, so we want to keep them in our thoughts and in our prayers. And we also want to keep the church and its ministries in our prayers as we plan this week, as we look forward to a new year of service. Let's go to God in prayer. Loving and merciful God, this first Sunday of the new year, we gather as a community of faith, of hope, and we celebrate the blessings of the previous year. And dear God, we're thankful for all that has been given to us, and we thank you for the promise and hope of this new year, and we look forward to it with expectancy. We gather as a community to pray for new life and new beginnings. Your word tells us that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And as we stand at the beginning of this new year, we confess our need of your presence and your guidance as we face the future. We have our hopes and expectations for a year that is ahead of us, and we know that you will give us the strength and the wisdom we need to meet its challenges. So help us, dear God, to humbly put our hands into your hand and to trust you. Remembering your words through the prophet Jeremiah, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you and not abandon you, and plans to give you the future you hope for. Father, walk with us every day and every hour of this new year, that the light of Christ might shine through us. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. May we let go of past hurts and grudges. Help us to be a people of reconciliation and love. Help us to reach out to those in need. Open our eyes to the sorrows and injustices of our hurting world. And may we respond with compassion, comfort, and generosity to those who are friendless and in need. Help us to be a people of vision. Help us to be a people excited about the gospel, and help us to search for ways to bring bright light to dark places. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, who by his death and resurrection has given us hope both for this world and the world to come, and taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. This is that time when we make our love for God visible. We make it visible with our gifts, with the offering of our time, our talents, and our witness. Let's give to God with cheerful hearts. Let us pray. Generous God, over and over and over again, your grace sustains us. Over and over again, you provide for us. We offer to you these gifts with gratitude and joy. May they feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and bring others to know you through the ministries of this your church. Bless the gift and the giver in Christ's holy name. Amen. Oh.
did so good to remember to put the doxology in, and then I put the wrong one in. So this technology for this service is rebuilding everything. Our hymn of meditation, Nothing But the Blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me bright as snow.
Share with you the Word of God as recorded in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, simply one verse, 5th chapter, the 17th verse. May the people of God be enriched and inspired by this holy Word of God as recorded in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. And behold, the new has come. The word of God for the people of God. Many of us look at January as that month in which to just start over. So ignore the outline that's in your bulletin, because as I read over my sermon, I decided to start over. But the scripture works. The scripture always works. We can always find precious truth in God's Word. But as we look at the idea of starting over in the month of January, some of you may certainly have made New Year's resolutions. As I looked over the top 10 or so of New Year's resolutions that people make every year, they won't surprise you. The first one is lose weight. The second one, stop smoking. The next one is exercise more regularly, keep to the budget, perhaps find a new job, and adhere to greater spiritual practices. These are all wonderful goals, and we should all try to work closely to achieve them, because they really represent, as you look at them, a balance of both mental, emotional, and physical, spiritual balance and welfare in our lives. As we think about the brand new year, there's that image that many of us hold as a clean slate, to wipe the slate clean and begin anew. As our scripture says, in Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. In Christ, the Redeemer of our sins, especially as our focus on Holy Communion today, as we look at Christ as the Redeemer of our sins, that's really what this is. It is reminding ourselves that in Christ, our sins are forgiven as believers. The slate has been wiped clean. We rise up from this table today as new creations in Christ, in asking forgiveness of our sins and in committing to the strength Christ offers us to practice a more faithful life. Now, one person in the Bible stands out to me, and perhaps to you as well, as indeed a person that needed to start over, to be more faithful. His name was Simon, but our Lord Jesus renamed him Peter because he saw something in this man which he knew could build up the church. He called him his rock, Petra, Peter, upon which the church would be built. But Simon Peter, the one in which the church would be built, was indeed a man that needed to start over. He had promised Jesus, even if everyone else forsook him, he would not. And of course, we know the story in John 21. Peter, within a very short time of saying that statement, absolutely denied him not once, not twice, but three times. If anyone needed grace, if anyone needed to make a New Year's resolution, if anyone indeed needed to start over, it was Peter. Now, lest we judge Peter, how many of us have already broken one of our resolutions? How many of us in one area or another in our lives need to be redeemed, need to start over? So with this idea of starting over, just what does that mean? I think the first thing that comes to my mind when we decide, and it is a decision, to start over is to face our failures. One of the hardest things we do in our lives is to put a mirror in front of us and claim that the buck stops with us. To understand that we have to claim our own failures, that we have to own up to the responsibility that somewhere along the way we messed up. But our natural, typical inclination of a response is to blame someone or something else for what went wrong. Of course, this masks the problem. In fact, Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. And Peter had denied him three times, so Jesus asking Peter three times was intentional. It was intentional because Jesus desired to give the opportunity to claim his grace for each count of Peter's denial. Jesus simply wanted Peter to face not only his failure, but his fear. We need to own up to ours too, because quite often our failure has been because we gave in to our fear. And Jesus just simply comes to us and says to us, I not only want to forgive you, I do forgive you. And in that acceptance of that forgiveness, we are restored. The second thing I think it means to start over is it means we set our priorities. Jesus asked Simon Peter if he loved him more than any of these things. Now, we don't know exactly what Jesus was referring to, so we'll just take a couple of guesses. Perhaps he was referring to the fact that was he willing to leave his fishing business? We know that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, so we know that he had a family life. Did Peter love Jesus more than his family life? So we don't know exactly what it was that Jesus was referring to, but the bottom line was he was asking Peter if he was willing to make following Christ his number one priority. When we claim Christ by calling ourselves Christian, then what we are really doing is acknowledging also that Christ is claiming us. Family, friends, faith, and career all have that rightful place and are surrounded in the blessings of Christ when the Lord is the focus of our lives. And thirdly, I think what it means to start over is it means we are accountable for others. It strikes me that individualism is a very, very strong attitude in our culture. Taken to extreme, it is downright unhealthy. Some of the troubled persons who go down that extreme individual path take up guns, shoot innocent persons in public arenas. They probably didn't set out with that intent, but they most likely set out to live in this world by their own terms, in their own way. When unable to conform, perform, or reform, they often become destructive. Now, Simon Peter naturally had not become that type of extremist. However, we know that he was a zealot. We know that he could be spontaneous. We know that he could just do anything on a whim, say anything at a moment's notice. We know he had that vulnerability, which the Lord used in a wonderful way. His zealous nature, however, had led him away from the path that Jesus intended for him. And Jesus charged him then with caring for others. Three times Peter was told to care, tend, feed the sheep, God's kingdom people. And starting over for one thing then means we shed our individual agenda and submit and are willing to focus then on the Lord's will for our lives, which includes being more accountable to Jesus for others. And fourthly, I believe starting over means we accept hardship, sacrifice, if you wish to use that word. Being in the ministry, my family and I have noticed, is a lot like being in the military. You really don't have any control over where you're going and when you're going and when you're arriving at the next place. Someone higher up in the chain of command, if you will, has that authority. Our families sacrifice the long tenure of friendships and involvement in community when we are told that we are leaving to go serve yet another community. You know what it is to have a disruption in your life. We can count on one every 4 or 5 years. The constant saying goodbye to one community and the hope of being accepted to another community is a great sacrifice to our children and to adults of anyone that leads this kind of lifestyle. So beginning again comes with some bit of hardship. And Simon Peter understood this, and naturally and definitely Jesus Christ our Lord understood it. Jesus made a statement about Simon Peter's future in John 21. He said, "When you are young, you will dress yourself and go about your business. But when you are old, you will be led where you do not want to go." Jesus was saying that Peter was definitely going to be a leader of God's people, but it was going to come with a price. It was going to come with some difficulty and hardship. Things beyond his control would be a natural sequence in Peter's life. The same is true for Christian believers. Yes, we can start over, and we should, but that does not mean that freedom does not have its difficulties and challenges. How we deal with the hardships which come our way, that's the key. That's the redemptive factor. That determines our effectiveness for Jesus Christ in his kingdom. We have a choice, surely we understand, to deal with challenges either with resentment or grace, or with fear or with faith. And finally, starting over means we follow Jesus, period. Peter was curious about the future of John, the beloved disciple. He wanted to know, what about him? And I don't think Jesus was being ugly at all, but he was being rather matter of fact, because this is exactly what he said. He said, "That is of no concern to you." In other words, keep your eye on the ball, Peter. Keep your focus, Peter. Remember when Peter walked on the water to come and meet Jesus Christ? And he was walking until he thought about it. I'm walking on water. He lost his focus. While he was walking, he was looking at Jesus, the goal, the prize, where he was headed. Until suddenly it became about him. And he said, "Look at me, I'm walking on water." He sank. That wonderful tune, "Keep Your Eye Upon Jesus." But the same is true for you and me. We waste an awful lot of precious time and energy, don't we, when we look at our circumstances and we compare them to someone else's. Oh, why can't my life be as prosperous as theirs? Why can't my kids be as good as theirs? Why does my future feel like it's as rosy as theirs? And I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians 12:9. When Jesus spoke to Apostle Paul, when he was feeling doubt and so concerned about this thorn in the flesh, and what was Jesus' response to him? "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." And who doesn't want Christ's perfect power? In other words, we're living the life Jesus wants us to live. He supplies all our needs. He does not supply all of our wants. But if we will follow Jesus, I promise you with everything in my being, he will give you the strength, he will give you the courage, he will give you the energy, and he will give you the fortitude to begin again and start living the abundant life. When you were born, you were given a life. When you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, that's when you begin living the abundant life. And there's all the difference in the two. Life abundant with love. Life abundant with peace that passeth all understanding. Life abundant with grace and redemption that no one else in this life can give you. Life that is filled with that hope that Paul says in Romans 5 that does not disappoint. An opportunity to be a greater blessing to the world than we could have been without Jesus. Do you know the song by Michael Bublé? It's a new day. It's a new dawn. It is a new day and a new dawn. A new year and in Christ a new life. Jesus is inviting you and me for an extreme makeover. But it has nothing to do with changing your outer appearance. Because Jesus is not into beauty contests. It has everything to do with changing this lasting, wonderful makeover inside. Beginning with cleansing our hearts. The kind of makeover Christ is arranging is the kind that creates beauty inside as he cleanses our lives with the blood of Jesus and with the sacrifice of his body. Now that's worth starting over. For someone's love for us that would give up everything so perfect, so real, so godly, that you and I could be with him in that kind of love forever and to be made perfect in Christ. My friends, come and feast upon this sacrifice of goodness, of the one who challenges you and me this day to do away with the old and embrace the new, which is given to you through the redemption of your Savior and mine, Jesus Christ our Lord. You are called to be a new creation in Christ. Let us do it. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Christ has prepared for us a new creation meal. There's no charge to us for that because Christ has already paid the price, picked up the tab, if you will. This is not the United Methodist table. It is not Asbury United Methodist Church's table. It's Christ's table. It's open to all who wish to start anew, to have a new beginning. If you need or require gluten-free, please ask your server. We have that available. Now, our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he gave thanks unto you, he broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks unto you, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let us join together in the closing collect. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Won't you prepare to stand and sing our hymn of commitment, Grace Greater Than Our Sins? If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members or like to profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or renew that faith, or as always to come forward and pray, we invite you to do so. Thank you. It's so wonderful to be with you in worship. Next week, we should be back in the sanctuary for the 8:30 divine service. But in the meantime, may God's blessings be with you all. Let us pray. And now, Father, you have given us this new day, this new year, and you have given us the opportunity to be a new creation in Christ. May we go forward now in his holy peace, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of his Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.